Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody feeling good? Man, I feel like having a party. My district superintendent introduced me here lately and said, Brother Gidrose is only 1 minute from a party. I love to have a good time. How about y'all? Amen. I started to get out my megaphone this morning out of my trunk of my car. I have a megaphone. It's an old antique, and we used it last week at the Missouri camp meeting when Jerry Ann and I promoted the boys' ranch. And I had 1 minute in my part, and I got that megaphone, and I said, when I say lighthouse, you say boys' ranch. So I screamed in that old megaphone. We had a pep rally like we used to have when I was in high school. Why don't we have a pep rally here this morning? When I say Jesus Christ, you say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How about it? Jesus Christ. Come on, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. Can we praise him this morning? Oh, give him some praise this morning. My God is in this room. I said the Holy Ghost is in this room. The God that created the whole universe is in this room. Hallelujah. It is believed that there are trillions of solar systems in our universe. Millions of suns bigger than the one that gleams on our planet. And if our God can create all of that, surely he can heal your body. Surely he can give you inspiration in your heart. Surely he can change the darkness into light. Can we just give him all the glory? Oh, glory to God, 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 glory to God. He lives, he reigns, he rules. He's king, he's almighty, he's omnipotent. That's our Jesus, hallelujah. Can you reach up and love him right now? Somebody receive the Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody receive victory this morning. There's no reason for you to be depressed. It's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus. And it's all in him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so honored to be here with our blessed friends, Brother and Sister Shindall. Some of the most outstanding ministry in our movement, and I'm so indebted to him for this friendship and this privilege. What a great church. What a great church. Way of Life Church. What a way of a great, great church. And we love them. We love Simeon and Anna just a little bit. They are so precious. And it is so great to be with you. I'm not going to take a lot of time here this morning to get started, but I'm so happy to see Bishop here this morning. And Sister McGahey. Sister McGahey, great shall be your reward. And to your two boys, the same message. I would like for you to turn with me this morning to Genesis. And I'd like to preach to you this morning. A simple message. I really want to help somebody. I don't want to preach a sermon just to be preaching. I want to help somebody. Everybody say, help me, Brother Gedros. I live in a body of flesh. I am not made of ground diamond dust. I'm made of slime, the dust of the earth. And I'm going back to the dust. So I really don't have much of a cocky reason to stand here this morning and parade any kind of excellence. But I do know that this body of flesh I'm in, oh, wretched man that I am, weak, frail human being that I am, I'm full of waffling. I'm a yo-yo. I'm up and down. I'm cold and hot. I'm inconsistent. I'm imperfect. I have a lot of struggles. I'm human. Anybody else kin to me? Anybody else kin to me? Anybody sick and tired of the yo-yo in your life? Huh? Anybody sick of getting up in the morning and not knowing what you're going to do all day? And just living a life of dippity-doo-la, dippity-doo-la, dippity-doo-la day. I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of my day. Just getting up, living at random. Living at random. Everybody say, living at random. Whatever comes across my mind, whatever's in my hip pocket, I'm going to operate from my hip pocket. That kind of life is over. Everybody say, it's over. Come on, it's over. I've got to get an agenda. Come on, I'm in the last days of my trail. My dad used to say the last mile is the toughest. And folks, we're in the toughest part of this generation. Jesus is coming soon. Everybody say, Jesus is coming soon. He's not coming for a second-class church. He's coming for a first-class church. For a grand champion church, for one that has an agenda, one that has a plan, one that has an architected design, a purpose. So this morning I'd like to preach to you on that thought. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to notice that God is dealing with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he speaks to the serpent who tempted and beguiled Adam and Eve. And he said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed, verse 14, above all the cattle, above everything, every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, this is the first prophecy in the Bible concerning Jesus Christ. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Can everybody say amen? God bless you. Pat your neighbor on the back and say, I love you, love you, love you. Let a little love flow here this morning. You may be seated. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we have a verse of scripture that records the same moments that I read to you about in Genesis. And it is concerning the thought of, in verse 13, in Eden. Would everybody say, in Eden? I've been through the Vatican, and I've seen all of Michelangelo's portraits, and the many portraits of his thought pattern were from the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. In Eden, he said, in the garden of God, in the garden of God, perfect peace, perfect serenity, in the garden of God. Now, we've got to go back a little bit to the thought of God creating the angel. And when he created the multitudes of angels, he did not give them a soul. He gave them an intellect. And he knew when he gave them an intellect, they would argue with him, debate with him, contend with him, and try to rise above him. And that did happen. Because it was in that beautiful heavenly throne area of God that Lucifer made his choice. God had given Lucifer, and it states it in Isaiah 14 and then in Ezekiel, that God had given Lucifer special permission to walk down into the coals of the throne, in the coals of fire, in the stones of fire. And in those stones of fire, and then he carried him up to the mountain of God. No other creature has ever been that privileged to be that deep into the soul and power of the universe as Lucifer. And it was at that point of grandeur that Lucifer was given 12 stones that were on a tabret, and he was given pipes hanging, dangling from his creature. And Lucifer was not only the director of music, Lucifer was music. Everywhere he went, clang, clong, cling, clong, 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 he was sounding the glory of God. And it was in that state, that marvelous state, that God saw a need to establish order, agenda, purpose, plan. Because God does not operate at random. God is not a random God. Every star has its placement. Every planet. There's not one dangling star or planet. They are all in spiritual concrete. God is a spirit. Spirit is more powerful than matter. Matter came from spirit. And so God established the universe. Stars don't collide. It is a marvelous fixture of great grandeur and creation. And in that splendid atmosphere, Lucifer was placed. And God gave him, in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Now this, his sin did not begin in Las Vegas. It didn't begin with Madeline Murray O'Hare in Austin, Texas, or Dr. LaVey in San Francisco. Witchcraft was not begun in Salem, Massachusetts. It was begun at the very throne of God with the creature that had the most access to God. The most access to God was Lucifer. And in that day he was created perfect till iniquity was found in him. And God gave him in the day that he was created. God put on him an agenda. God put on him a tablet that had 12 stones. Those stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And to our knowledge, earth was not even created. Adam had not been created. Abraham had not been born. Isaac, Jacob had not the 12 tribes. But yet, the 12 stones represented the 12 tribes. Because our God is a God of plan. Our God is an architect. The universe has been all planned out, friend. You are not here by accident. There is not one particle of atomic power in the universe that God did not strategically plant where it is. And the electron and the neutron and the protons are all far enough away that literally if you could calculate and you could measure, an electron is further from a proton in relativity than the sun is from the moon. Our God is so great that he can create the infinite and the invisible to be more majestic than the visible and the creative appearances. What a God we serve. We should all say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him king of all. And so Lucifer, oh Lucifer, with all of this bedecking of the 12 stones that are named, because in Eden he wore those stones. That's the first time the stones were actually identified, was in Eden. But Ezekiel said, in the day he was created, God put this agenda on him. And I just imagine as he looked at the 12 stones that represented all the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob. He looked down at that and said, what's all this crud? What's this junk? I am so beautiful. I don't need all of this, these jewels on me. I have got such beauty that I don't need this crud. The crud was Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin, the 12 tribes, the church of the Old Testament, the foundation for the New Testament. And from Judah came Jesus. And from Jesus came the 12 apostles. And from the 12 apostles, we have this great New Testament church. God is not stupid, friends. God is not a God of random. No accidents in God's kingdom. Come on, look at me, will you? Lock eyes with me, guys. I'm talking to you about a God that created you. He formed Adam by the riverbank, and we think that's majestic. But more majestic is that God crawled in your mother's womb and formed you. He formed you and knew the color of your eyes and knew your name before you were born. You're not an accident. You're not an at random creature. You are not a purposeless being. I have dealt with suicide with people. I had a teenage boy in my church that I loved very much. His grandmother raised him in our church. His brother said, will you be my best man? He said, if I go to the wedding, they won't even know I'm there. He had so X'd himself out of life that he did not even realize his own existence. Came to the wedding, sat by me at the reception, and disappeared. wasn't long until he took his life because he told his girlfriend the night before, I'm going to take my life. They were sitting in a pickup truck bed in Galveston, and she was begging him, you're so precious. I want to marry you. I want to live with you the rest of your life. No, he said, I'm taking my life tomorrow. I'm a nobody. Satan has a desire to make a nobody out of you. Jesus came to make a somebody out of you. The number one crime death problem in American teenagers is suicide. Satan will get their minds so rattled. He gets them so depressed. Come on. Don't forget, drugs is a depressant. Alcohol is a depressant. Anything to put you down. And Jesus came to lift you up. Somebody need to shout here this morning. He came to give you life, not death. Peace, not torment. I need some help here this morning. I'm preaching to a world that is on depressants. They go to a ball game and guzzle down depressants. If I went to a ball game, folks, I'd fill myself full of Mars, candy bars, Paydays. I'd get high as a kite. I'm not going to depress myself. Why get depressed about something you're trying to have a good time with? Our world is miscalculating what real humanity is. I thank God for the peace that comes in Jesus. How many of you have the Holy Ghost here this morning? Come on, how many of you have life in Jesus? How many are tired of the yo-yo? Up and down, up and down. Anybody here? Up and down, up and down. Say, Brother Gills, I'm tired of the waffle of my life. Come on. In all these hotels we stay in, they have a waffle machine. And when I make myself a waffle, and that thing up and down, every one of them are just alike. Life is a waffle. Up and down, cold and hot. Everybody say cold and hot. Anybody here ever been in love? Anybody ever got mad at the one you loved? And sometimes you don't know the difference in hate and love. Everybody say, we waffle. Jerry Ann and I, we may look intelligent, but folks, we can argue over the stupidest stuff you've ever thought. In the day you were created, I gave you an agenda. He hung it on his neck. Listen to this. He said, thou art the anointed. He said, every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. Workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. When Lucifer was created to be the angel of light, the most beautiful angel of God's myriads of angels, of the three archangels, he was the most gorgeous. And God gave him a purpose. And he turned that purpose into the gates of hell. And so, if I say so and so, God named those 12 stones. Judah was the one that would bruise. Then in Eden, he said, Lucifer, I'm going to bruise your head. You divided my angels in heaven. One third of the angels he cast out of heaven. God did because Lucifer divided them. You divided my angels in heaven, and now you divided my family on earth. I want to bruise your head. And what that meant was, Revelation 13, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, or the creation of man. In the mind of God, when Lucifer tempted Adam and Eve, God purposed God put in his agenda, I'm going to bruise his head. I'm not going to kill Satan, but I'm going to bruise him. Angels never die. Human beings never die. Our flesh goes back to dust, but our eternal man goes forever and ever and ever. You will live forever and ever. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. And so God said, Lucifer, I'm going to bruise your head. From that point on, the Old Testament is basically a story of Lucifer trying to divert God's focus from that promise. Because the thing that Lucifer feared the most was the cross. Because the cross was where his head would be bruised. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. Oh, the power and the wisdom of the cross. The cross was God's moment. He focused for 4,000 years that when my only begotten son dies on that cross, I'm going to bruise the serpent's head. He will be cast into outer darkness, but he will never die. In eternity, he will never die. Satan chose he would rather burn in hell 10 billion years than be 10 seconds in the presence of God. What a choice. Now, everybody say that agenda was on Lucifer. And he worked to divide Israel. He sent Philistines, Sabians, Midianites, all kind of enemies. He had Athaliah to try to destroy the righteous lineage of the priesthood. He inspired David to know anything that Satan could do to get God's mind off of that cross. He did it. He divided Israel. There were two nations. He was a divider. Everybody say he's a divider. Satan hates a divider. Folks, you don't want to fool around with a divider. Don't hang around with somebody that would divide you from your church, from your family, divide your marriage. If you've got a sister-in-law that doesn't like your husband, don't fool with her. Leave her alone. Come on. Mark them that labor among you. If God disbanded Lucifer because he divided the angels and he prophesied him to bruise your head because he divided his family, you better believe that God wants his heavenly host in heaven and in earth to be one. He wants this church to be one. He wants this church to be united. He wants this church to be one body, many members. I'm preaching to you this morning. God wants this church to be one. Everybody say many members, one body. Don't come to church and criticize. Don't come to church and judge people. Don't come to church and gossip. Don't come to church. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. Don't come to church and cause division. No schism in the body. Everybody say no schism, no division, no divorce. God doesn't want you divorced. He wants your family together. Y'all okay? Am I doing all right? God gave them an agenda. He hung that same agenda on, you showed the agenda, the stones. Those same stones that were on Lucifer, God put on the high priest in the Old Testament. And every time the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he carried God's agenda with him, which was the 12 tribes of Israel, which would be the foundation for the New Testament church. The New Testament church is in the Old Testament church as an oak. The Old Testament's in the New Testament as an acorn. We are the revelation of the Old Testament church. And so the high priest, everybody say the high priest, every time he walked into the Holy of Holies, he had those 12 stones, and every tribe was to put a different quality of worship and praise and energy into the kingdom of God. God had an agenda. It would take me days to go through all of God's agenda, but God does not work at random. God does not work at random. You are not here accident. God purposed your feet. He ordered your steps to the house of the Lord. Somebody help me shout this morning. You've come to a place of purpose. You've come to a place where there's an agenda. And Satan did not quit for 4,000 years trying to distract God from going to the cross. When Jesus was in the wilderness praying and fasting, Satan came, skippity-doo-la, skippity-doo-la. Hi, Jesus. Poor little Jesus. Been 40 days with no party, no fellowship, Jesus. Bless your little heart. Hadn't eaten, Lord. And you know what? I've got a cafe, Jesus. We'll just come. You come eat with me. We'll turn stones into bread and put butter bubbles on it. We'll have us a bread party. Come on. And Jesus said, I'm not going to your restaurant, Satan. Come on, everybody. Y'all gonna preach with me a little bit? So I said, okay, you won't go to my restaurant. Tell you what, Jesus, I got a movie picture show. I've been taking pictures of the Alps and Hawaii, and I've got all the beaches and the rivers and the oceans. And if you just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Hey, Lucifer, without me was not anything made that was made. I'm before Abraham was. I am the mighty God in flesh. What do you mean you'll give it to me? Get behind me, Satan. Okay, Jesus, you won't come to a restaurant. You won't come to a picture show. I'll tell you what, Jesus, you need something dynamic. You need a Six Flags over Texas. Big. Oh, you need some good times. Why don't you just crawl on top of the temple, Jesus, and jump down? Commit suicide. The angels are buried. They'll Paul bury you. You're going to be taken care of. And Jesus said, I'm not going to give you any sensations. Everybody say hallelujah. Okay, Jesus. No restaurant, no picture show, and no Six Flags. Okay. How about? I got a church, Jesus. Now, you just need to come to my church. Got some pews, got an altar, and I got a pulpit. And I'll preach to you, and you just bow down and worship me. Trying to get his mind off of that cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a time of prayer in the daytime. I had a great time of prayer. And that night when I went to bed, the devil got in bed. And I got his head on my pillow, and he said, Ronnie, you don't pray enough. I said, now, Satan, you don't determine my prayer agenda, my prayer schedule. Satan, you know where you live. You know your address. Now, just go home. And I said it. I said, go to hell. And I did not cuss. That's where he's going, right? Just go home. Go to hell. Get out of my family. Get out of my mind. Get out of my Bible study. Get out of my marriage. Come on, everybody say, go to hell. Get out of my life. Get out of my prayer life. I'm not trying to teach you to cuss now. But you better talk straight to the devil. Jesus told him. Jesus talked straight to him. Y'all okay? I'm trying to take the yo-yo out of my Christian experience. I'm tired of being cold and hot, up and down, discouraged and encouraged. I want to live a life on fire for God Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Thursday, Friday. I want to have a life that's full of victory. And if I can get an agenda in my life. So, everybody saying so? Satan kept working. And when Jesus got on the cross, Matthew 27, he said, if you be the Christ, just come down. Come down. Come down. I'm not coming off this cross. I'm bruising the serpent's head. I'm going to have victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to have power over all unclean spirits. Come on. When he went to that cross, he bruised the serpent's head. And twice they said, come down. I'm not coming down. Because I can live on this cross without a drop of blood in my body 10,000 years. Because I am the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. So he took the cross as his instrument to bruise the serpent's head. And did it work? Did it work? Everybody say, did it work? Does it pay to have an agenda? If you don't have a financial agenda, you're going to die broke. Anybody over here agree? If you don't have some financial plans, you're going to die broke. If you don't have a career plan, you're going to be a street sweeper after a while, maybe. Clean up graveyards. But if you get an agenda, hey guys, John Maxwell says that more 19-year-old boys are becoming millionaires in America than Harvard graduates. If a boy will get a hold of a passion, develop a business, and not go to rodeos and football games and have vacations for a few years, just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and study and apply and stay focused, it won't be long when he gets that agenda in operation. He can grow a wealth mountain that is mammoth. But when we live, and you know what I'm talking about. Because some days you can get up, go to church on Sunday, and it's Wednesday before, oh, I need to read my Bible again. Boy, can I get my last agenda picture up, please? Thank you, media, for helping me. I'm just about through here. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, I'm going to be victorious. Come on, I'm going to have a life of victory in Jesus. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to fulfill God's purpose. You got one more? You got one more? It's the picture of heaven. Revelation 21. It has the big... all the stones, those same 12 stones in Ezekiel 28 are the same 12 stones, look at that, the same 12 stones of the Exodus 28 on the high priest. Lucifer had them, same 12, same names, same colors. High priest had them, same names, same colors, same names. And now heaven itself is built on God's agenda. It's built on those same 12 stones that are now 1,500 square miles overlaid with transparent gold. And each floor is a different stone, and it's the same name, the same stone as is in Ezekiel 28 and Exodus 28. Folks, does that make sense to you? That if God had an agenda, I've got to have an agenda. Because I'm made in God's image. Come on. And I'm made in God's likeness. Can anybody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm not going to live a random life. I'm not going to live a hopscotch, You know, playing Chinese checkers. My life is not a game. In the day I was created, my mother fasted 3 weeks while I was in her womb. My brother Lowell was in my mother's womb 3 weeks. My mother fasted for God to make a preacher out of us. My life has never been random, loose, just emotion. Whatever comes up, that's what dominates. If I say, go to hell, Satan, get out of my life. I set my face toward Jerusalem like a flint. Come on, somebody. I want you to stand with me. Trying to help somebody this morning. Everybody say every day. And I think I've got one called My Agenda, if you can pull it up. I appreciate it. Here's what you do every day. Everybody say, here's what I do every day. Every morning when I get up. Everybody say, the first thing I do. Come on, everybody. Everybody say, the first thing I do is I set the agenda for my day. Because this is the day the Lord has made. This is not an at random agenda, a random day. This is the day the Lord has made. And you take your sweet Bible. Everybody say, I take my sweet Bible. How many get your Bible out and hold it up, will you? Everybody say, every morning the first thing I do is I get down by my prayer place and I take my sweet book, God's holy book. This is my agenda. You kiss your book. If I say, this is my book. Satan never could get in alignment with not my will, but thy will be done. He had to have his own will and his own way. And look where he will be forever. But if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm helping somebody this morning. Every morning take your cross and bruise a serpent's head. And let the serpent know, today, no lust of the flesh. Come on, somebody. Everybody say, today, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Today, I'm an overcomer. No four-letter cuss words today. No lust of the flesh today. No lust of the eyes today. No pride of life today. I'm going to die daily. I'm going to kill myself all day long. It's not my will, but thy will be done. And when you set an agenda for your life, the outcome will be eternal pleasures forevermore. You can't live by random. You've got to have your own agenda. And if God had an agenda, how much more important is it that I have an agenda? Would you stand with me and let's praise our God this morning? Oh, victory in Jesus. How many will bring your Bible to this altar this morning and say, Lord, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. My life has taken on a new meaning to me because my God crawled in my mother's womb and formed me. I've got a calling on my life. I've got a purpose in my life. I've got an agenda. I'm going to witness to somebody today. Come on, tell yourself. What you tell yourself is more important than what you tell others. Tell yourself, I'm going to witness to somebody today. I'm going to bruise a serpent's head today. Satan won't have a chance for my life. Satan doesn't have a chance because I seek first the kingdom of God. This is the way of life, church. This is the way of life, church, and the way of life is God's agenda. That's why this church is rising. It's rising. Revival is in this church. Because pastor has established an agenda. A revival agenda. It's going to bring souls by the hundreds to Jesus Christ. Come on, put your Bible together. Put your heart into this right now, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. I'm coming out from among the world to be separate because you called me, Lord. I didn't choose you. You chose me, Lord. You chose me, Lord. You chose me, Lord. Oh, let's sing unto the Lord. Let's rejoice in the victory that comes through having God's agenda. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.